everybody. This is Jack Hubbard, and welcome to 10 Minutes With. In November 2017, I saw an American Banker article about this young female executive who launched a new and very exciting blog focused on women in banking. The creator of that news feed was Natalie Bartholomew. About the same time, my son Adam came to me with an idea featuring experts in financial services, short, practical podcasts and webinars that highlighted issues bankers were facing every day. The 10 Minutes With and the Girl Banker world seemed to align perfectly, and our goal was to feature Natalie as our first guest. Unfortunately, due to a very busy schedule as a chief marketing officer at Grand Savings Bank, as a mom, as a speaker, and as a working farmer, we just weren't able to schedule Natalie at that time. Fortunately, we were able to get on her dance card in 2019. Now, Natalie will tell you a little bit about her background, how the Girl Banker got started, and where it all is today. On her website, though, thegirlbanker.com, it suggests that she produced this amazing process in hopes of creating a voice for women in banking and working moms. We're absolutely thrilled to finally get you on this program, Natalie, and thanks for joining us for 10 Minutes With.
Hey, everyone. I'm so excited to be with you today and share the Girl Banker story with the 10 Minutes With audience. So thank you so much for having me today. Just want to take some time to kind of talk to you guys about how the blog got started, why I'm doing it, why I've continued to do it, and then answer a few questions that I get pretty regularly about the blog. So we'll just move right along here. My name is Natalie Bartholomew. I am the owner and author of the Girl Banker blog. I also serve my primary role is to serve as the Chief Administrative Officer for Grand Savings Bank. And Grand Savings Bank is a community bank located in Northeast Oklahoma and Northwest Arkansas. We have 12 locations, and I have the luxury of getting to work with all 12 of them on a regular basis. And I am a fifth generation Northwest Arkansas resident, so it's great to be able to work in my home state as well. So we're just gonna get started here and talk about the blog. So who is the Girl Banker? I find that anytime I go and do a speaking engagement about this blog or speak to women in banking, I always find it's really important to kind of start with this slide. And the main reason is because I think this resonates with all the other women in banking out there. Most of us are juggling a lot of things at one time. So the Girl Banker is a working mom of two and a wife. And that picture there shows my oldest Brody, who is 8 years old, my youngest Witten, who is 2 years old, and my husband of 12 years, Colt. On my Instagram account, I highlight him pretty often because he's a real life cowboy. And so we have just kind of a cool story. I'm a banker by day, but a fifth generation family farmer every other time. And we live on my family's farm. So my children are going to be the sixth generation to be raised there. So definitely a multidimensional person, I guess. There's more to me than just being a banker. But I am a third generation banker. My grandfather started his banking career long ago. He since has passed away, but he was in banking for 45 years. And he kind of was the inspiration for me being interested in the banking industry. And I certainly hate that we can't have discussions now and talk about the differences in banking and how it's changed over the years, because it's definitely a lot different from what he was used to. Very obsessed with sports. I've got two boys. There's a reason why God made me a boy mom. Love sports. There's a reason why we named my youngest Witten, because we are Dallas Cowboys fans. My oldest son is very involved in baseball and basketball, will likely be in football. And so I'm kind of the annoying mom on the sidelines yelling. I like to sit by myself during games. I don't like to talk to other people because I want to be fully engaged in what my kids are doing and in the game itself. And I'm also addicted to work and social media and the need to change the world, which is probably why I have this blog, why I effort to do it. It does take a lot of time, but it's a passion of mine that I've been able to kind of put into a work of love, and can't wait to tell you guys more about that as well. But that is a good explanation of me, so the girl behind the Girl Banker. My girl banker story, how did I get started in banking? As I mentioned earlier, my grandfather was a banker. My mom also was in banking until she had my sister and I have a twin sister. So she worked until she had us. And then she was a stay-at-home mom and worked on the farm. And so I was exposed to banking at an early age, was obsessed with paperwork and forms. As a kid, I would when we would go shopping, back when people actually went to stores to shop and didn't order everything online, I would go to the mall and I would come home with my purse full of credit card applications. And it wasn't because I wanted a credit card or that I wanted to shop. It was because I loved filling out forms. So I would pretend like I was filling out these forms. And I know that probably makes me one of the biggest nerds there is, but that was me as a kid. And when I was in high school, I was very interested in pursuing a career in the banking field. And my grandfather had worked, the bank he worked at for 45 years was Farmers and Merchants Bank in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. And Arvest bought it in 1991, I believe. And so it went from being a small 2 to 3 branch operation to being a part of the Arvest Bank family. So in 2001, actually it was 1999 through 2001, I was a junior bank board member as a high school student of Arvest. And I was on them all the time about hiring me and had the opportunity to start as a part-time teller there at the end of my high school career. It was really my first job. I was really active in sports and cheerleading and activities. And so it was my first job at the end of my senior year. And I worked there through college and graduate school as well, constantly talking to them about wanting to have a career in banking. And luckily they believed in me enough to invest in me as an employee. And so I worked there, worked my way up to being a CSR, worked in customer service. Towards the end of my college career, I became a loan assistant with the understanding that I'd be moving into a loan role upon graduation. I did go to get my master's, and so I continued to work as a loan assistant then and started training as a credit analyst. So I wore a lot of hats, and so I was also involved in a lot of different things at Arvest, which it gave me exposure to essentially all sides of the bank. One thing that Arvest is really good at, if you're not familiar with them, they're a large bank now and in several states, but are headquartered here in Northwest Arkansas. But they excel in training and they do it all internally. And so I was trained from customer service banking 1 all the way to customer focus banking 4, and then learned to do mortgage, commercial, and consumer lending there as well. So certainly wore a lot of hats, was exposed to a lot of different things, and worked there for 12 years. I was kind of getting to a point, interesting enough, where I was in my hometown, I must mention, a place where I was doing loans for people that I went to high school with or went to high school with my parents. And so there's kind of a whole other level of awkwardness involved with that. But I was getting kind of complacent working in my hometown, knowing that I was destined for more, knew that I still loved banking. But they did approach me about attending graduate school with banking. So I went to Colorado in 2013, met a connection there that introduced me to someone that wanted to recruit me to First National Bank of NWA, which is a division of First National Bank of Fort Smith. And so I actually, after 12 years of being at Arvest, after attending graduate school of banking the first semester or first year, started commuting, instead of a 3-minute commute, started commuting over an hour to work. And so I kind of stepped outside of my comfort zone. Everyone thought I was crazy and went to First National Bank. That role there essentially led me to where I'm at now at Grand Savings Bank. From being involved in that community, was exposed to a lot by making that commute to a much larger area and being around a lot more people, and definitely got to broaden my leadership skills there. So here I am now at Grand Savings Bank. We are a smaller bank, but I have a seat at the table. I have the ability to have a touch on the bank as a whole, and that's very rewarding for me, and I love the people here and love this team, and they have empowered me not only in my role as now the chief administrative officer that I just started doing that this past month, but also to do this blog. And I think that's important to note, because that is kind of an interesting thing when you talk to bankers about what I'm doing. One of the first things some of them will say is like, how does your bank feel about this? And I will say that the first thing that I did when I first started talking about doing this blog was approach my leadership and talk to them about what I was wanting to do, what my plans were, and they were very supportive and have continued to be very supportive through all of this. So again, when I first started thinking about the blog, I felt like it was important for me to be transparent with my boss, who is the CEO, his name's Guy Cable, about what I would be doing and anything involved with that. And so anytime I have travel associated with a blog, I take time off. I don't feel like it's the bank's responsibility to pay me or be a part of that if it's going to be benefiting the blog. But I've had opportunities as a result of the blog that have been able to give me a chance to talk about the bank. So I've been invited as a bank employee to speak at things. And then when it's about the bank, then I don't take time off. So I think it's important for me to mention that because I get that question a lot. And it's important for me too to be able to tell our team that so that they, if they see that I'm getting these opportunities and that I'm out doing this, that it's only on the bank's time if it's truly benefiting the bank directly. But the blog has brought some notoriety to the bank at a national level that maybe we wouldn't have received otherwise. But I'm very quick to give that credit to my leadership for empowering me to not only do my job, but also to take this blog and grow with it. So that's just kind of a unique thing about this that is interesting to tell. So I got into banking because it was a passion of mine. And it's funny because when I talk to other women in banking, I always will say, how did you get into this job? What led you to be a banker? And often they say they didn't find banking, banking found them. So what that tells me is that a lot of young women aren't looking at banking as a career, unlike I did. It just finds them. So, through my time as being a banker, clearly it's a male dominated industry. And early in my career, specifically at Arvest, it wasn't as apparent at that time. I think I was kind of also, kind of pigeonholed to a small community. And so I didn't notice it as much. My role wasn't as much of a leader at that point either. So perhaps it wasn't as noticeable. But as I have continued to grow in my career and attend conferences and be involved in the Arkansas Bankers Association, et cetera, it became incredibly apparent that it was very much a male-dominated industry. And I say this lightly about the Arkansas Bankers Association because they've changed drastically even over the last 12 months. They now have their first female CEO and president. They have their very first chairwoman of the board. So they've definitely made strides. But when I first started feeling a tug to be an advocate for women in banking, I would attend conferences and it would be nothing but old white men. And so I started calling them OWDs, old white dudes, as a joke. But it spoke to me that either one, there weren't very many women interested in advancing in banking careers, or they weren't able to or empowered to. And then it made me kind of concerned too about young women considering this career as an option. So I speak at a lot of schools or have over the years. And anytime I do speak, the girls are, one, they don't attend my session, but two, they don't pay attention. It's usually the boys that attend. They think that they can make a lot of money in banking and that's why they're there. So it just kind of made me a little bit concerned about what the future was for women in banking. And when I launched in 2017, I feel like the timing was really, really perfect. Little did I know what was going to be coming later in 2018 with the Me Too movement, the overall women empowerment movement. So a lot of things happened that kind of, I think, probably on accident, propelled the purpose of this blog forward. How I even launched it, being in marketing, of course, I had some connections in terms of creative and web design. And I had one person in particular that really pushed me to consider doing this blog and provided me with the tools to do it. Her name is Allison Dyer. She serves as our agency of record for the bank and has her own marketing firm. but she kind of set me up with a couple of people. We created the website, we launched it. A lot of it was done very much on the cheap. This is all out of pocket for me. So I didn't invest just a ton of money into doing it, but I tried to make it the nicest, simplest website I could, where most of my efforts are made in the blog posts themselves, and then obviously maintaining the Instagram account, the Facebook account, the Twitter account, and LinkedIn. So social media is really my jam, not only for my work here at the bank, but also it's how I connect with other people in the online space. It's how I've met a majority of the banking connections that I have across the country, and it certainly helps me to get the story about the girl banker out there. So I do a lot on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn and Instagram. They all have their own, I do different things on each platform. Instagram is probably my favorite, and I utilize stories there. On Facebook and Twitter, I try to put a lot of articles out there. If it's not articles from my own blog, it's articles that are out there from Forbes. There's a couple of other blogs that are great to put good content for women in banking or women in business or working moms or whatever it might be. A lot of my content that I do on the blog itself are things that I'm passionate about. And so they've all kind of grown and moved with me as I've started this blog. But the Girl Banker's Guide is probably one of my favorite things. I just did one about annual reviews. I've done one about how to build your own fashion wardrobe or your work wardrobe by buying clothes when everything's on sale. And I give resources for that. But I think probably one of the most popular things that I've done is the Girl Banker of the Week. And I just kind of fell upon that on accident. I thought the purpose of this blog is to advocate for women in banking. So why not tell the story of women in banking all over the country? And so I started highlighting women that I knew personally that were bankers that were not at my bank. And by getting a nice headshot, I would either talk to them on the phone or I'd ask them questions over email and get pictures of them in their day-to-day life as well as pictures of them at work, and would put together a blog post talking about how they got into banking, what they do with their job, any adversities they faced, and would push it out through social media, and it was instantly a hit. It was also important for me to do that because I think at first I received a lot of criticism because it looked like it was a self-promoting platform. The blog itself was just me trying to build this brand and promote myself. And while, yes, I am building a brand, the purpose is to advocate for women in banking and working moms. And so by continuously putting other people out there and highlighting them, it kind of shook that off. But another fun thing that I do is the Girl Banker in the Making. And that's a young woman that is just starting her career as a teller or as an intern. And so I'm still looking for more people to highlight there. And I interviewed someone here locally that works at my bank. There was another one in Arkansas, and then actually a young woman in Alabama. And it's been fun to connect with these people and continue to stay connected with them and either serve as a mentor to them or learn from what they're doing and how they're growing in their own career. Another one that I do is Women in Banking, the Influencers. Those are women that have influenced me in my career, and then women that are making waves in the industry itself. And so all of those kind of make up different topics that I highlight on the blog itself. As I started posting more and as it kind of caught on with other women, as people started finding it, it became, it's weird for me to say popular, but there were people very interested in my mission. And so, especially in the banking industry. And so I've been fortunate enough to be featured on this list of newsletters or industry affiliated news blogs, etc. And then I've been able to go and speak to a variety of conferences or serve on panels. Most of them have been women in banking conferences. Some of them have been marketing focused. Some of them have been leadership focused. I'm going to be able to speak at the Financial Brand in Vegas this next April. And I'm going to be teaching a class at Graduate School of Banking in Colorado the second week out there during their session on building a personal brand as a community banker. So the blog itself has certainly opened a lot of doors for me to connect with people all over the country in ways that I never would have expected to do. And I'm not listing this stuff here for notoriety's sake, but just listing to say that it did catch on fire. There's been a lot of interest in this mission. And I would say the most beneficial thing to me has been connecting with these women and hearing these stories. And knowing that the struggles that we have as women in banking, we're not alone. We all are dealing with some of these issues just in our own different ways. But regardless if you're in Georgia or if you're in South Dakota, or if you're in Arkansas or Oklahoma, we're all dealing with the same thing in some way or another. And a lot of that involves juggling work and life and being a mom or whatever everyone else is juggling. And so it's been really exciting to connect with these people and hear their stories as well.
I started off when I found Natalie's blog. It was right around when she started, and I kind of got the idea that this was going to be a big deal. And it's taken us a couple of years to be able to you because you are popular and what you're doing is fabulous. So other female bankers or male bankers or anyone that's listening to this program and says, okay, this is a great idea. I'd like to start one. Talk about time. You have a family, you have a job. How long does it take you to be able to do this? Because it's not everything you do is individually done. So you don't get that scale where you start off and say, well, it took me 4 hours, now it takes me two. Everything you do is individualized. So how long does it take to do this?
That's a really good question. And I honestly don't know that I could give you a quantity of time. What I can say is that it is a 24/7, 365 monster that I have created unintentionally. I find time for the blog. And when I say I find time for the blog, that can mean a lot of different things. That's either writing new content, it's creating graphics for social media, it's loading content for social media. It's scheduling speaking engagements, attending speaking engagements, doing stuff like this, whatever it might be. So when I say I do stuff for the blog, that's kind of my reference to all of the above. But what I do, I use a lot of tools, especially on the social media front, to schedule out posts. And I try to do a post at least once a day on all the platforms. Now, not all of them get the daily love that they deserve. Instagram is usually my favorite one just because that's the one I enjoy the most. But I schedule a lot of that out. And so I will spend some time right when I first get to work, and I'll plug it all in. It'll be done for the week. I'll do it at night when I get home, when the kids are in bed asleep. They're all night owls, so they're all up with me anyway. Or I'll stay up late and do it. I'll get up early and do it. I'll work on it on the weekend. I'll try to put a lot of content together when I've got a holiday. I've got extra time off. It's kind of a never-ending thing, honestly. And certainly my work at Grand Savings Bank is my priority. And I said to somebody once, they said, well, what's your long-term plan for this blog? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to break off and get away from the bank and do this full time? I was like, well, I honestly have never thought that far ahead with this or thought through a strategy. But without my job at the bank, I'm just the girl. I'm not the girl banker. And so I kind of feel like I lose relevancy if I'm not at the bank. So my time here is important. And I just recently was given some additional responsibility with my job here. So there's going to be even more time there. But I've got very active kids. I'm involved in our community as well. I serve on a couple of boards. It's honestly, I say this when I speak to my conferences, I just fake it till I make it. I do not have it figured out. I in no way have a perfect schedule and have all this loaded all the time. Some of it's on the fly. I try to be as organized as I can, but I just push through every day and know what my priorities are and try to stay as organized as possible. But it is a lot of time. And And my job itself is a lot of time, having two crazy boys that are involved in sports and on the farm and things of that nature is a lot of time. So it's, I squeeze it in where I can. And if I didn't love it though, I wouldn't do it. And you make time for the things you love. And so that's kind of the best way I can put it. If someone felt the urge to do something like this, but they weren't bought in 100%, it would never work. And I know if I didn't love doing this and it wasn't a passion of mine, it would never happen. It would have just fallen off.
Take the word banker out and plug in the word architect, pediatrician, you name it. My question around that is, you've listed here on your slide quite a number of banking publications that you've done work with and speeches. I'm curious, outside of banking, what kind of publicity have you gotten, or what kind of comments have you gotten from women in other industries?
Not long ago, I was actually approached by a young woman that was a lawyer that was in the same sorority as me. And she asked me about my thoughts on collaborating with her and kind of doing exactly what you're saying, expand it beyond just the girl banker. And she's, while a different title and a different industry, she's essentially dealing with the same things that I do. And I had never really thought of that until she mentioned it. And at the point that she asked me, I said, let's talk about collaboration here and there. But I wasn't ready to kind of sell out the blog completely to go together on everything, because I felt like it was kind of my wave to ride. And I had worked so hard on putting all this together. I wasn't ready to collapse that. But what it told me is that it's sparking interest in other industries. And I think that if this young woman, especially, she's fully capable of doing it. If she wanted to do something similar, that was more in tune with her industry, she most definitely could do it and would probably have the same popularity with it. It's just going to take somebody putting the time together to make it happen and having the passion to do that.
I'm curious. You mentioned riding the wave. One of the waves that people look at is advertising. And I'm curious if anybody in our industry, whether it be a Fiserv anybody.
A vendor, yep.
Would come out and say, I'd like to advertise on your blog. Have you faced that at all?
I have. I haven't had any formal discussions with anyone about it other than just kind of a chat about it. Right now, the way from the back end of things on the website, I feel like I own that space, and I'm already at a point here a year out from launching. It's already time to update it and overhaul it. But I don't know that I want other content on there that I don't own. And so that's certainly an additional source of income, and that's how you can make some money while you're sleeping, I guess. That's what bloggers do. But I don't think that's really me. And if anyone, and I have to be very careful too to avoid any kind of conflicts of interest with vendors that may do work with my bank. And I kind of feel like if I just avoid that altogether, from the advertising perspective, we're all safer that way, and I can continue to own what's on that blog. Now, that's not to say that I couldn't collaborate in some way and get creative there, but right now I have not really entertained it that much or plan to entertain it very much.
That's fair. That's fair. Yep. Two questions, and then I want to make sure that people know how to sign up and where to contact you. But the first question is, where do you find these folks, and how do you go about being able to interview them? Do you have a day job, and they have a day job.
Yeah.
Are you doing interviews in the evening, on the weekends? How does that all work? First question is, how do you find these folks?
Some of them have been people that I've connected with, specifically on Twitter. Before I launched the blog, I had kind of built up a Twitter presence, specifically with bankers. And there were bankers in Alabama. There were bankers in Kansas. There were bankers in Missouri. They were all over the place that I had connected with and never actually met in person. And it was because I had been trained by my friend Allison that I had mentioned earlier on how to put out relevant content about banking. And by doing that, it just kind of started this conversation and all this connecting with these people that, like I said, had only known in the online space and had not met in person. And so doing that and having that background, I immediately had some go-to people. Also from Graduate School of Banking, I had some connections there because it was important to me initially to not highlight people that were bank or that were competitors of my bank. And I had to kind of keep that in mind too. Even though there were a few that I did highlight that were competitors and my boss was fine with that because I wasn't highlighting the bank, I was highlighting the individual. But that's really been how I have found most of my people because I already have a connection to them some way. And by doing that, I already kind of have a feel for how to write the article. I already have a feel and the tone for how it should go. It's much more sincere. There have been a few people that have been referred to me, and I put on the blog, there's a page that says if you want to make a reference to somebody to be on there. And there's been a few that I've done that with, and while they have great stories, and I'm not discounting that, then my ability to write about them or a personal experience with them is a little different. And so the tone of that article may be a little bit different, but it doesn't make the importance of the article any less because everyone has their own unique story to tell. But a lot of people end up in my inbox asking to be a Girl Banker of the Week. I've had a few people just asked for it, and I've had a lot of referrals too. But my time to work on those, and then I send a lot of emails back and forth. I kind of have a platform that I use to get that information to them. Like, here's my questions, here's what I need. If you can get this back to me, and then I'll be back with you with any other questions. That way we're working on each other's time frame. So while I would love to have a Girl Banker of the Week or a Girl Banker in the Making every week, it's not every week. And I guess that's the luxury of it being my blog. I can put it on there when I want to, but it's definitely hard to work around everybody's schedule.
Well, last question, and then we'll talk about how to get a hold of you and mm-hmm. how to sign up for the Girl Banker. So I'm looking at this slide. It says the Girl Banker blog. If I'm you, I'm thinking about the Girl Banker podcast or the Girl Banker webinar. What's mm-hmm. next, Natalie?
Those are all really good questions. It's funny because I visited, one of my greatest mentors has been Jill Castilla. You want to talk about building a brand as a woman in banking, a fierce one at that would be Jill Castilla at Citizens Bank of Edmond in Oklahoma. And she's been kind enough to kind of take me under her wing and answer questions. And she's a very busy lady too. But I met with her back in the spring and toured her facility over there and her bank and some of the extra things they've been doing. And she actually had a room for podcasts. And we joked about doing a joint podcast together. And at the time, we laughed about doing it incognito with no one knowing who we are, so we could say all the things that we would really like to say without having to be PC or worry about hurting feelings. And that's not to say that we may not still do that, but it was kind of, it kind of made me think, wow, what if we did do a podcast? What if I did a podcast? And then I think, when in the world would I do that? And how would I do that? You know, to answer your question, I don't know. I don't know what's next. And I just kind of live this day to day with my real job being the main priority. And when I can think strategically about the blog, I do. And the rest of it just kind of plays out. So I am doing a couple of webinars, but they're usually sanctioned through like American Banking Association or, like I mentioned, BankBeat. So it's just, I never know each day what's going to come next.
If you look at the industry, there's mergers and there's technology and new products, et cetera. But you rank right up there as one of the more popular things right now in banking. And with having a daughter, it makes me smile to think that you've have grabbed onto this and not only helping yourself and helping our industry, but helping women get ahead, which is really important. How do people sign up?
Yeah, so this next slide will show you, those are all of my social media handles. and my email there, that how you can connect with me. And then if you go to thegirlbanker.com, there's a pop-up there and you can sign up for the newsletter. And so essentially you'll get a newsletter on a Friday morning if there's been any new content posted. Otherwise, all of it's pushed out on a regular basis through all those social media platforms. But I'm very easy to reach. There's all these different ways here that you can connect with me. It's funny, I've got some people that I text, I email, I send messages in Facebook Messenger or on Twitter or through the Instagram Messenger. Like it's funny, I'll have conversations going through all of them at one time. So I love to hear other stories. I love to hear suggestions and ideas for other blog content. I mean, it's important too. This industry is going to continue to change. How women in this industry are viewed is going to continue to change. I think 2018 was the year of the woman. A lot happened for women in that year, but I think it's definitely showing in the banking industry. A lot of the women in banking conferences that are connecting with me right now are saying that they're doubling in size in terms of attendance, which tells me that bankers or bank leadership is finding it important to send their women to these conferences and that they're good with empowering them to do that. So it's all very exciting and overwhelming.
Well, Natalie doesn't know this, but she was once we had the idea to do 10 Minutes With, she was the first person that we thought of, and we reached out to her a while ago. And yeah. This is a busy lady with being a mom and a banker and having this just amazing avocation that she's so passionate about. So we're thrilled that you were able to finally join us today, Natalie. All the best to you, and thanks again for being with us.
Thank you. It's an honor, and I'm very appreciative of the opportunity, and I look forward to connecting with everybody.
Natalie, thanks so much for providing a tremendous amount of insight on blogging and where you've been and where you are and where you're headed with The Girl Banker. If you're interested in signing up and listening to what Natalie has to say, thegirlbanker.com. It's a free website. Natalie provides a ton of great ideas for both male and female bankers in terms of personal branding, marketing, sales, and lots, lots more. Don't forget to sign up, thegirlbanker.com. And watch for Natalie speaking. She's out on the speaking circuit for sure. She's at the Financial Brand this year. She's doing a lot of work with ABA, got some webinars going on, and certainly on a regular basis, the Girl Banker blog. Fabulous. This is Jack Hubbard. Thanks for joining us for this 10 Minutes with Natalie Bartholomew. We've got some other great programs out there this year for 2019. We started with Mary Beth Sullivan, who talked about deposit strategies, and then we went over to Eric Cook, who gave us a lot of practical help on content strategies. And we'll have a lot more good interviews and practical ideas on 10 Minutes With. This is Jack Hubbard. Thanks so much for joining us.